Dark wings.
Dark words.
A Game of Thrones podcast.
Season 5, Episode 2.
The House of Black and White.
Welcome back, everyone, to another thrilling podcast. I am your host, Chuck Davis, and with me this week are...
Tattoo!
The part smiles, of... everyone, smiles!
The part of Tattoo is being played by Craig McCauley.
Mike Hergert.
Chris Voorhees.
What's going down in the Seven Kingdoms this week? Strange things are afoot.
Different things are afoot than many of us are used to. I feel like three of us remember and Craig doesn't, so...
I'll be the person who hasn't read the book going forward.
Oh.
So.
The person who forgot the book. Craig McCauley. It's fine.
Mike, you're going to be our resident expert this season.
The fresh memory.
Mike did the dance. He's completed the dance.
I've danced with crows, guys. That's the name of the book.
So we're seeing some of the intrigue surrounding the selection of the new Lord Commander of the Night's Watch, and that's kind of more or less...
Double time. Holy moly, they got through that really quick. One scene.
Yeah.
You know, that went on for...
At first I thought he said, you were elected in the thing that we did last night. And I was like, what? That's it?
Yeah.
They're not going to show it?
They're not even going to show the vote. They're just going to reference it.
Did you think that too?
Yeah, I
did. Must have been a slurred word or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he said there.
Well, no, he says the thing about the it's likely that Sir Alistair will become the new Lord Commander. And
right.
John acknowledges that is...
Likely
to happen. And then Stannis gets to... state his premise of help me reclaim the North with the note from the Mormonts of Bear Island.
Was that in the book? I mean, I feel, was it?
I don't think it was. I mean, there was a lot of other reasons why Stannis would need John as a figurehead, someone the Northmen would follow.
I mean, I guess he definitely gets offered to be renamed as a Stark, but... I don't feel like that was the context.
No,
it wasn't exactly. But I think that the Mormonts were sort of holdouts in terms of blowing Stannis off.
Oh, were they?
Yeah,
that could be.
But you know, in the books, you get to see the Mormonts as part of Robb Stark's entourage, and they had sworn fealty to him as the king in the North. So this is sort of a residual representation of that.
Right. Mm.
But I think it was kind of more of a thing, I don't know. I mean, there is no king in the North at this point, except for, there is no king in the North.
No.
Mm-mm.
There's the Warden of the North.
Right. Roose Bolton's the Warden of the North, but he's sworn to the Lannisters now, right?
Right.
Yep.
So it's not real clear, really, what the Mormonts are talking about, because there is no king in the North. I mean, I guess they're just saying if you can come up with a Stark,
right?
Count us in. You find a Stark, you're good.
A Stark proposal.
And boy, Jon Snow makes a bad decision, huh? Could have been the Lord of Winterfell. Instead, he's going to command the Night's Watch.
He's got residual guilt.
You know, vows.
Gonna be yep.
I mean, he really...
Long yep. future in that course.
Just dip in and out of those vows as he sees fit. Yeah. You know, whatever works.
No, but he only betrayed the vows because he was told to by someone else of the Night's Watch.
I mean, where he was banging a wildling.
Oh,
that one.
Okay.
He didn't,
that one time.
He didn't marry her. It says take no wife.
Oh, who are you, Sam Tarly?
Yes, well, come on,
Nickel
man.
And dime me, letter of the law.
Although,
here.
Listen to me, he should have...
I mean,
he should have taken Stannis' offer. Should have taken Stannis' offer.
I liked Sam's dressing down of Janos Slint.
Well, that was pretty great. I feel like from the book, I won't spoil too much, but I feel like Sam gets kind of like a... He has a good speech, but like there's a lot more that goes into it in the book, like where he's...
Oh, yeah, he's conniving. He's going around. He's like politicking.
Right, yeah, he's sort of lining up all the votes before he plays his hand.
Right.
And my favorite thing about that whole bit is, like, you know, I don't know, there's maybe a few votes, and they there's not really a super majority or whatever, so they keep doing it over and over again. And
yeah, I mean, it's like a months-long process, it seems like. Like, Stannis is basically like... You guys need to fucking choose somebody, or we're gonna, like, I'm gonna choose someone for you.
That's right. Yeah, Stannis is like, I'm getting impatient with this. Let's get this over with. That's right. I'd forgotten about that.
It's like when they choose the new pope, and they have the smoke, and if it doesn't not the right color, then they got to go back and vote again.
Right.
Is that how it works? If the smoke's not the right color,
they do that. There's some kind of
papal shenanigans.
No, I think they just don't do the smoke until they've selected the pope, and that's everybody who's patiently waiting in the...
Popes can't hold their smoke.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
It's a holy sacrament. But in the voting, there's a really cool moment where, to sort of help sway the Night's Watch opinion in Jon's favor... Like, they depict it as they're throwing the tokens in, like, more of a cauldron. And Lord Mormont's pet crow, who, like, I theorize, perhaps, like, Lord Mormont maybe was a bit of a, what do they call it?
Changeling?
Skinwalker?
Skin shifter?
Skin changer?
No.
A warg.
Well, I mean, he had this sort of... You think rapport he was with his crow.
One with his bird?
Skin flinter?
Or his raven. It was Lord Mormont had a pet.
I think
they
call them skin changers.
Okay. And I mean...
And wargs. They call him a warg too, don't they?
Yes. But they never called Lord Mormont that.
No, but you think he was.
You have your theories.
All right, so in the voting, there's a moment where Lord Mormont's raven, who's still around... even though Mormont is long gone. There's a couple little things, like the crow used to talk all the time, ask for corn and whatever. And so I think...
Say John's name.
Yeah, nope. He used to say snow all the time. And so didn't he like swoop in and like perch on the cauldron and say snow?
It was
and
very then, like, symbolic.
It was almost like Mormont speaking from beyond the grave to vouch for John.
Yeah, that's true.
And it was, I think maybe they sort of implied that Sam had engineered that moment in John's favor. Either that or it was just more of a supernatural thing or just a coincidence. But for whatever reason, that was kind of what tipped it in John's favor and he
Odin.
Won.
Odin was on his side.
Now,
that old mythology. Oh,
the old gods and
sorry,
the new.
I've been watching too many shows. The Vikings, Game of Thrones, the Daredevil.
Gods, all the new
Blood Norse gods.
Norse gods.
Is this the first we've seen or heard of Sir Dennis Malister from the Shadow Keep?
I think
it is.
The Shadow Tower. I think so. I think he's probably just a quick mention, and then we'll see you later.
I think you're right. He didn't get any lines, and he was old and ineffectual looking. So even though
was too old to talk, it's fine.
John sort of did a half-hearted banging cup on the table, like, all right, I guess I'll vote for that guy.
Do you think John cast his vote for that guy?
John didn't appear to have voted.
He certainly was dismayed to have been nominated.
And I don't know, you know, I might call shenanigans on Maester Aemon waiting to cast his vote until everyone else had.
Like, I feel like they should have
like the Speaker of the House. He gets to be the tiebreaker.
I mean, that's a huge unfair advantage. That should absolutely be disallowed. You can't wait till you get the vote to vote.
Why not?
And I feel like they should have shown like Jon Snow and all those guys go up and like. Do their vote and like give like a thumbs up to the crowd, like, you know, like all the candidates of today, like, hey, I voted for myself, guys, don't worry about it.
Well, I was concerned because all the politicking that in the books Sam does, like going around rallying support for John,
and doesn't he have to make some deals?
Racy. Well, they there are more than just the three candidates. There was the head steward was also a candidate.
Right.
And so Sam kind of talks him out of running. Like, he basically talks him into stepping down so to free up enough vote of a voting block to.
That's what I recall.
Yes.
Thank you.
But so all this, this is like a solid plot development that had to happen, and it, I seem to remember it being in the third book. So this is maybe one of the last sort of solid book established plot points, because everything else that's going on with other characters on the show is like all new territory. Like,
yeah, except Arya, they haven't gone too far away from what. I mean, she's going to become a faceless
man.
Man,
we don't know what that is.
Yeah. Oh, cut from the episode.
So let's talk a little bit about the Arya segment then.
So I mean, we start out with her, right? That was the first scene in the show,
right? And so I have a little bit of a bone to pick with that moment. Like, so in my mind, when Arya shows the Iron Coin to the Braavos captain, he immediately is deferential to her, not because she has the coin, in my mind, but because the coin means that she is a faceless man, and therefore he must serve her and return her to Braavos. But then, in this episode, when they're sailing under the Sentinel Guardian, the Titan, he's like explaining it to her like she's a Westerosi who doesn't know anything about Braavos. But she ought to be playing coy, like, you know.
If that's what that is, then yeah, that's a very good bone to pick.
Yeah, I never really thought that about the coin. I thought it was more symbolic of...
You're a pal?
Yeah, right. She's in. She's, yeah.
I mean, what do they call her when they're on the ship over from Braavos? Is it like salty or it's something like that?
Oh, yeah, that's a thing in the books going all the way. Like, Arya's constantly assuming...
Different names?
Different aliases, right.
Oh, that's after she gets there. She like the fish.
No, but even on the way over, like the
it started in Harrenhal.
Yeah. Oh, that's.
She had a couple different aliases in Harrenhal.
Right.
And so yeah, basically every time she falls in with a new group, she assumes a different identity. So at the salt pans is where she boarded the ship, and then she had some kind of new nickname for herself there. Right. But anyway, that might have been me misinterpreting what the significance of the Iron Coin was. But I just always thought the way that everyone was deferential once she said Valar Morghulis and showed the coin, it just meant this is secret code. I assume you know what this means.
It's not secret because the guy said every Braavosi would do the same. So everyone knows about it.
Right. But it wasn't deferential as much as I thought. Fearful. Like,
But you would only be fearful if you thought that that was like Master Assassin in one of their guises.
No, right? Or that the, you know, Arya is important to a faceless man.
I suppose so.
Could be.
Yeah, I mean, that's the show's interpretation, apparently.
That makes sense. That,
I like all your theories. You know,
This proves that a bad man vouches for me. So.
That may be the last bone you can pick. Because there isn't going to be much in the way of scenes where they're going to differ. All the big scenes with the main characters, they're all different.
Right.
I mean, there may be some similarities in scenes from the book versus upcoming scenes in the TV show. But, you know, I guess I don't get this. So the whole plot with Tyrion is just him and Varys on a... this is the buddies on a road trip to Meereen.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
He's basically like taking the place of Illyrio. In their little wagon train to Volantis.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, no one cares about Illyrio, so we can just forget about him. But
So the scene with Prince Doran of
There's a whole group that's got to be several chapters out of a book, all those characters as they're going up that river.
Right.
That's not a spoiler, right?
You talked about
that whole group of characters.
You'll never.
None of them are going to be in it.
They might hook
the
up
dwarf,
with the dwarf.
The dwarf. The pig riding.
The pig riding dwarf. The pig riding dwarves did not appear at Joffrey's wedding. So
they did.
I thought they all
did. They
on the show rode pigs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't they all?
They were for sure in the show.
Oh, I don't remember that. Oh, that's terrible. Cut that out.
Yeah.
So the pig.
Thanks, Dave Coulier.
So that could still happen, theoretically.
But that was a Westerosi lord and a. Well, I won't say.
Well, so here's something to think about along
those
lines.
I'll just bleep it. Go ahead.
John was a Targaryen, another Targaryen. Aegon Targaryen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Well, so you may recall, and this is a little spoilery, but that cast of characters that Tyrion encounters on the road to Meereen and falls in with, one of them has a little case of grayscale creeping in. And they spent a significant amount of time in this episode establishing what grayscale is and what it does to you.
Yeah. So it's coming.
So that might be foreshadowing for that grayscale character to appear still later this season.
Kind of like grayscale zombies.
Well, I mean, I don't feel like there's no grayscale in that story until they go like through like Long Lake or something, Dagger Lake or whatever, and they go under the bridge. Like they go under it, and then they go under it again. Because there's some weird shit that happens, and then Tyrion falls in, and like the guy jumps off the bridge and
exposes himself to it.
They jump onto the boat from above on the bridge, and one of them grabs Tyrion and takes him like under the water.
Well, this might all be coming. I mean,
I don't think it is, but
no, I don't think it is either.
We're gonna cut this whole thing out.
Okay. We maybe should.
Yeah, we have to.
No.
You
no,
have to
because I had a salient point about the grayscale. No,
okay, no. Start. All right, start your grayscale point over again.
Maybe I'll just put a disclaimer at the beginning.
Well,
start with Shireen
about spoilers. This may or may not be a spoiler.
No, at this point, I think it's all fair game because we know that the show's not going to depict things the way they happen in the book.
But if people want to read the book, speculate like Kat's going
to
listen to this.
I guess it's on them going forward.
I actually
nobody's going to read the book.
I was just looking on iTunes, and we had
read a book.
We had an iTunes comment from a listener last season who basically was chastising us for even being concerned about the spoilers, and just said, you know, don't sweat it.
Wait, you're suffering for the recency effect of you just. I get it. You just got a comment from one fan, and now you're going to live it. You know who you're like, Daenerys.
Who's our buddy from?
Jeez, harsh.
who's our man from like Crete or Cyprus or whatever?
Malta.
Gosh. What?
Malta.
Oh my Crete? God.
They're all the same. Oh to me. They're all in the Mediterranean.
Keith, the Maltese Falcon.
Keith. Okay.
I'm sure he's been called that Keith. Since high school. There's no way he's still with us. God, I hope he is. I want to go to Malta.
I know, because you're all fired up about the fireworks display.
I know.
You want to be there when it happens.
Other fireworks?
They got great fireworks in Malta.
They have a international, like, everyone sends their best to Malta. It's an island. Glassy.
What's different about their fireworks?
It's huge. It's important.
Because once you've seen one firework display.
Once I've seen a fireworks display in the street of Omaha, I've seen one in Malta.
I disagree.
What?
I'm romanticizing it. Let me.
Okay. I'll let you live in it.
We've really got off topic.
That's okay.
Were there any fireworks in this episode?
There was the return of a dragon.
Oh.
Premature return.
That was cool.
And she can't seem, you know, she's the one, this is the dragon that started this whole turn around for her, and now she's all happy to see Drogon.
Well, but of course, it's her kid. But they leave
It's a dragon.
they leave you not.
I don't even hear people who treat their dogs like their pets, let alone a dragon.
You mean their dogs like their kids?
Yes,
I knew what you meant. Thank you. I can fix that.
Can you?
This one's going to be an editing challenge already.
Dragon, we need more dragons.
Yeah, it was cool. There was, like, you know, some Drogon facial expressions happening.
I mean, there's already been way more dragons in the first two episodes than I expected. I expected zero.
I'll take it back. We need more White Walkers than dragons.
Yeah.
What was the name of the freed slave who got beheaded in this episode? I forgot to acknowledge him last week on the podcast because they basically
were like, who was this
didn't
guy?
Didn't they just introduce him out of the blue,
right?
As a new voice on.
I think so. Like Danny's I don't canceled. Like he wasn't in anything like a episode last season. So it's just like
they introduced him whole episode ahead of time before they killed him.
Here's this
they
guy.
Just established him. Yeah,
maybe
so that they could kill
maybe
him.
Maybe some of the establishing shots ended up on the cutting room floor. not a good move, but.
Speaking of Prince Duran, Martell.
Oh, who was he?
Did they?
Dr. Bashir.
Prince Bashir.
Prince Bashir.
Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time buying him as the ruler of Dorne.
Star Trek Voyager? No. DS9?
He was the doctor in DS9. Wasn't okay. he? Or was that Voyager?
He wasn't real.
No, the doctor on Voyager was the holograph. Thank you, Greg. Hologram doctor.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, Voyager we're talking was about. The hologram doctor.
No.
No, Bashir was DS9. He was an actual. Yeah.
You know what? I'm getting those confused.
Dark Star 9?
Yeah. Dark Star 9.
Who is the hologram?
Oh. Now it's a.
I'm off topic.
It might be a spoiler.
Another.
Prince Duran Martell. Do they even introduce the characters in this TV show?
They didn't introduce a lot of the new characters.
Say what his name is or anything about him. They did say, you know, because he proclaimed it, I rule. You know, so they he's the ruler of Dorne, but you know nothing else about him. You don't even know his name.
You know he's the brother of the Red Viper.
Oberyn, yeah.
Okay.
And you know that Oberyn's girlfriend
thinks he's a pussy.
Right?
who was originally supposed to go in Oberyn's stead to King's Landing last season?
Well, Prince Doran was invited, and he sent Oberyn in his stead.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, so he was spoken of. But I don't know if they acknowledged that on the show, that they were awaiting Prince Doran. You remember the scene where Pod and...
They said he was ill. They said he's sick, he can't come.
They did say that on the show.
Right.
When they met Oberyn's party on the road.
Last mm-hmm. season, they mm-hmm. said okay. that.
So,
sound like some bullshit.
But it pretty much... But it pretty much tells you that this character will have absolutely nothing to do with the main plot of the TV show because there's nothing about him.
What character? Prince Doran?
Thank you. My point.
But
I feel like Doran has to be.
He's going to be a major player in this season.
Yeah. We'll see. They didn't even introduce him. I mean, he's his first scene and
I feel like
don't some, even have
someone
his
said
name.
Oh, I guess maybe they just said Prince Doran like in the HBO After Effects like 5 minute
right
deal.
I don't think
she said his name in the show.
We can go back and look, but it could be that Illyria, is that her name?
Yeah, or Alara.
Alaria. Didn't she basically say Prince Doran and bitch at him over the shoulders of
maybe
of his guard?
Maybe.
That would be a good way to establish who
he
was.
The prince doesn't want to be disturbed.
The prince.
Yeah. So, good point.
The prince.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of characters that aren't introduced yet, like in Daenerys' council. I mean...
Well, that's why, I mean, Chris brought it up when they had the producer's little spotlight on new characters segment after the episode to explain Sir Kevin Lannister and Prince Doran.
I mean, they don't explain who, like, what's his name? His Dar, like, whoever Danny's, the guy with the beard or whatever, basically. That's
Lenny Kravitz?
Yeah.
Wait, what? Lenny Kravitz?
He looks kind of like Lenny Kravitz. I mean, in a way. He has that vibe.
After Lenny cut his dreads off?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about the...
Game of Thrones.
No.
The other guy who didn't get his head cut off.
His dar do his dar or something. Like, it's like the same thing. Like, right. I could go look in the book, but...
We're the worst.
It's complicated. It's,
yeah.
It is difficult. I try to podcast, but I cannot.
So they're going to send... Jaime in place of the other Kingsguard guy in the book who went to Dorne.
Oaken?
Was it
Shield?
Thorin Oakenshield. You're right. Was it
King under the mountain?
Yeah.
Kind of.
No, this was one of the
One of the Kingsguard.
One of the Kingsguard. But he
one of the Kingsguard was sent to Dorne as Myrcella's protector.
Right.
And he is a POV character in the.
And
books.
He has some kind of relationship with somebody in
Arianne.
One of hell. He's being seduced by one of the Sand Snakes.
Yes.
Which is one of Oberyn's daughters.
So
good work, Jaime, if you can get it.
Jaime's got some Sand Snake action in his future.
They're very
I think
well.
They're
going to
replace
be.
Him with that. Although it's going to be a little buddy road show with Jamie and Bronn.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that, mm-hmm. although yeah. I have no idea how that's going to contribute that was to the overarching narrative.
They're both
of
too
the story.
Similar.
Jamie Bronn and Bronn, and Jamie? Just mm-hmm. sort of cavalier.
I mean, they're both the alpha joke teller, like funny, wry, sarcastic, yeah, asshole-y.
Bronn's from the other side of the tracks, man.
South yeah, side.
Bronn's a... Well, I mean, that was a kind of a cool fake-out, the whole Bronn scene. I mean, so basically Jamie says, oh, who said about anything about going alone? And I was like, oh, he's going to go with Bronn because Bronn's the one he's been training with. In the play, right. in the place of
Ilan Payne.
Somebody Ilan called Payne. That while we were watching it. Was that you?
Yeah. yeah. It'll but, be Bronn. And so then Bronn's in the next scene. So it's like, okay, we're gonna see that. But that whole scene with Bronn and his betrothed,
Lawless.
You know, she's basically explaining why they can't move into the manor house because her sister's gonna inherit it, and he starts telling her, oh well, you know, your sister. Something bad might happen here. Yeah,
right, right.
So, which is in keeping with kind of what happens in the books. So it was like, okay, this is all... I thought that was kind of a fun fake-out from the producers of the show.
Like, it won't actually happen, but...
It's like, we acknowledge that this... Yeah, it's just kind of like, they established that this is what Bronn's going to do until Jamie shows up and he says, no, you can't do that. You got to come do this other
but
thing.
But I'm
going to
give you some better shit when you get back, so...
Yeah.
You're good.
But that's... I mean, that's a kick-ass... I mean...
Seaside baseball.
Bronn and Brienne are both like fan favorite characters, so their like stock has risen,
yeah.
and their futures are much brighter on the show than they are in the books.
She's the only person who drew a sword this damn episode.
God, and she didn't waste any time cutting the gut open of one of Littlefinger's, you know, guardsmen. That was fairly brutal.
She's mad. I mean. Everything she tries to do in keeping with her oath is just spurned by the people that she's supposed to be protecting.
Littlefinger's got a point, though. She's not yeah. so good at protecting people.
Oh, right.
Right.
I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, that's true.
Littlefinger played it pretty cool. He should have been mighty pissed that she was basically calling Sansa out for who she is right in a public yeah. arena.
Yeah, he didn't even address that.
And Sansa played it cool, like, I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Well, Littlefinger called her over. He said, why don't you come over here and talk to us instead of doing what you're doing, you know.
But still, I mean, that would have been rumor mill material. Littlefinger would have had to have everyone in that inn killed if he was the Littlefinger of the book.
Maybe he did.
Yeah.
And that whole chase, apart from, like, how lush and cool the forest setting was.
Looked nice, sort of pointless.
I kind of hated Pod's... Whoa! God, don't... Yeah, it's just, it was... I mean, they've been riding together for how long now, and he still can't ride a horse.
It wasn't his horse. It was new to him.
That's true. He had just stolen one of those horses.
He used to have a palfrey, and now it's a...
Palomino.
A palfrey?
In a pear tree.
Bats in your palfrey.
But that whole chase sequence
it's
was...
a term from the books.
...was fucked. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, no, Chris is laughing at me.
But, so, I mean, like, you know, half of the troops are chasing Pod this way, the other half are chasing Brienne this way, and Brienne's in the middle of a horse chase. She just, like, ducks behind a tree.
Right, yeah.
And they go riding by, and then she just comes clopping out, going the other way a second later.
It's pretty easy to fake those guys out.
There's guards, like, breathing down Pod's neck, but as soon as he gets to the water, he's like, whoa. Let's just stop right here.
For a brief
moment. I'm pretty
sure
those guys don't know where I am anymore.
For a very brief moment, I entertained the thought that he was going to get cut down. I know that it's not going to happen, but... I was just like, oh, he's being so obvious and so careless.
Yeah. Does anyone have any idea what's going to happen with those two at this point?
Like, no idea, except for the fact that they're going to follow Littlefinger and Sansa wherever the hell they're going.
At a distance, maybe.
Yeah.
I liked Pod's pragmatism. His whole, you know, the two people that you're supposed to be protecting,
they kind of don't want
to
help.
They let you off the hook, so maybe we could just, you know, not do this for now.
So that's why she's in the TV show at all. Brienne is the fan favorite, so they're going to create a whole subplot.
I don't think Martin was not going to discard Brienne. I think Martin has plans for Brienne and Pod as well, but
in future books.
In future books, oh. Yeah. Well, I mean, although
And Pod?
Give me I mean, you've read...
Jamie and Brienne have to re-encounter each other because of the palpable sexual tension. and because they're, I think it's just one of those...
It has to happen.
There's going to be a whole episode where it's just them having sex.
That somehow will end up being a fan favorite.
I feel like those characters are destined to have more like closure with their friendship,
I agree.
If not relationship.
I don't.
Friendship, or respectship, something.
Fuckship.
Nah. Well, maybe.
Jamie's a new man. It basically from this point on, like him leaving Cersei now. Well, I don't know. I mean, the Jamie of the books gets pretty fed up with Cersei.
Yeah.
Just getting that grudging respect and friendship with Brienne in the first place is kind of a new Jamie. But so,
The Jamie of the books is a lot more independent-minded than this Jamie. He's sort of reactive. I mean, even now he's like, I'm going to go to Dorne because my sister's mad at me.
I mean, no, because my daughter's life is in danger.
Whatever, because his sister's mad at him.
And it's like, oh, no, yeah, Cersei's like basically daring him into being a father figure now in this, you know, late.
Yeah.
Everyone on the show just makes a decision based on what just happened and nothing else, it seems. I really feel that way sometimes.
Well, it's just, yeah, expeditious plotting. It's just kind of like, you know, give them an excuse to do something.
Right.
You get to see them make a decision and act upon it.
Maybe Jamie fell for Brienne when he saw her naked in that hot tub.
Mm. Yeah.
We didn't get to see it. He did, though.
All 7 feet of her.
I mean, I say those are fan favorite characters, but I love Brienne on this show. Her encounter with the Hound was a highlight of the whole series, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And her just being, you know, a gal of action is...
No, I agree.
Thrilling.
A gal of action.
And now I'm kind of disappointed because I don't know what's even going to happen with them. Like,
I don't know.
Reading the books, like, I want what in the books to happen, but I don't know that that's going to happen. So, I'm a little hot.
No, you're fine.
Oh, okay.
Well, although, are you thinking about rereading the last couple of books? Because...
I want to wait until we know that the new book is coming, and then I'll do my reread.
Yeah,
leading up to that, I'm content just to let the show happen until the new book comes along.
Stepping away from the details of the narrative, I guess so far this season, I don't know if I'm really looking forward to any of the storylines at this point.
Oh man, sorry to hear that.
Well,
no. Just kill yourself, Chris.
Jesus.
Edit it in.
Although the books sort of meander as well, so I guess I shouldn't be too surprised that
there's going to be far less meandering. I mean, they're basically forging ahead toward they're building towards something. I don't know how rapidly they're building towards a conclusion, or if they're just like, these are the characters we've established. We will grudgingly introduce some new Dorne characters, but that's it. You know, okay,
yeah.
some Braavos characters as well.
Yeah.
But we're not going to go back to Pyke and see anything going on with the...
Ironborn?
With no Ironborn?
No, I don't think we're going to see Theon's uncle...
Aaron.
Yeah. Or the other
Victorian.
One. Or Victorian.
Really? Damp hair.
I don't think we're going to see...
No Queen Smoot.
You know, I don't think we're going to see what's going on in Old Town with the maesters who are studying magic and stuff down there.
Really? I feel like that's
so what the hell
important.
Is going to happen?
Who the fuck knows? It's not going to be
all
what
new.
Happens in the books.
So
spills,
pills,
trills?
Just looking at the titles of the episode, The War is to Come. So who does Varys think is going to supply the force to reinstall the Targaryens? Just in the TV show. Leaving out everything you know about the books, how does Varys think that he's got anything going on?
He knows.
What is Tyrion going to help him with?
Well,
his sage advice is going to turn Daenerys into a leader that's going to have an army capable of...
She doesn't need an army. She has dragons. Varys doesn't know that she doesn't have control of the
dragons.
Dragons
are ineffectual.
Was Varys around in the day?
They're not ineffectual.
Well, uncontrollable. They're ineffectual in terms of establishing your power, right? She can't control her own dragons.
The Targaryens only needed dragons to claim the Seven Kingdoms in the first place.
Well, but
how long ago was that?
They sort
in the show?
Of implied that
hundreds
the,
of years.
Hundreds of years.
Those 300 had more years. Control over their dragons than Daenerys.
But Varys has no idea about any of that. I mean, Varys is kind of like just hopeful. And all he knows, as far as the show is concerned, is that... I mean, and he has this conversation with Tyrion in the wagon that, you know, you were a good ruler. You'll never be a ruler again, but you know what you're doing. I mean, he's basically just trying to talk him out of being a drunk.
I'll tell you what they're setting us up for. That goes right along with what you're saying. They're so overstating Tyrion's lethargy and malaise and not caredness that something is going to suddenly completely snap him back into the game.
It's going to be when he sees a dragon. Here's my prediction.
Because of his old passion for the reading about them, and that
it's going to be the dragon.
That's right.
They're going to come right off the page, right?
That's one comment I made last week, right. Chris, was Tyrion's backstory of having been a voracious reader and a lover of history, and particularly a big fan of reading about the Targaryens and the dragons. And that he considered himself somewhat of an expert on the history of dragons and the Targaryens.
So he'll see the dragon and he'll see Daenerys and he'll get all wrapped up in...
In the books...
The mystique of
he'll
the
put down the
dragons.
Put down the Arbor Mist. Or Arbor Gold.
Arbor Mist.
Arbor Mist. Yeah. That's a real wine.
Arbor Mist Gold.
Right. And he'll just get into it, right?
Right. In the history of the Targaryens, and I don't know if any of us are going to remember any of these names, but basically there were three dragons, right?
Right.
And three dragon riders that essentially conquered the Seven Kingdoms for the Targaryens centuries ago. And we have three dragons now, so readers speculate who are going to be the three dragon riders of the new dragons. And I believe Tyrion is going to be one of those.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Maybe he'll ride a dragon and that'll change his...
And I kind of feel like maybe Bran is another one. He'll just skinwalk in one.
But, that's what the guy said at the end of last season. He said, you won't walk again, but you'll fly.
Oh, fuck, of course, you will fly. Because you're going to be a fucking dragon. No, I mean, maybe I didn't really put two and two together. I just thought...
He'll be a crow.
Is Jon Snow?
He could control a dragon.
One of these dragons.
Daenerys has to be the third, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she already.
Daenerys will ride Drogon.
So who are the three again?
Tyrion, Bran, and Skin.
No, Bran is the dragon.
Tyrion on a dragon. So
who's riding Bran?
All right. Well, if Bran is the dragon, he'll let Jon hop on then.
Hey.
Hang on. This is getting a little.
It'll be Hodor.
Tyrion riding a dragon is just a little...
Yeah, I'm not buying that at all. Sorry,
remember when
Chuck.
Tyrion was supposed to go to war and they knocked him out with a mallet before he walked off?
Well, that was in the show.
Yeah.
Tyrion had designed a special saddle so that he could ride a horse because he was so deformed. And then he revisited Winterfell when... Bran was in charge on his ride back from the wall way back in the first book.
Oh, man.
And he helped Bran design his saddle that he could ride on.
Right.
So he'll just design a special dragon saddle.
No.
It's happening.
I don't think so.
It's happening, man.
It could.
And it also couldn't.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But those dragons will all be
three dragons
blasting others in whites.
You think so? You think that's going to happen?
Whites, WIGHTS.
Right.
Got it.
No.
I didn't know what you meant for a second.
Kill Whitey!
WIGHTY.
Yeah, that will be their battle cry. No, I honestly, you know, with the fan favorite nature of the show, I'm starting to feel like...
So this is the fan favorite.
It's going to be all fucking fan favorites, no matter what.
Tail wagging the dog.
Brienne will sit the Iron Throne before the series is finished.
No, she'll split it with Daenerys. They'll have like a rotating, you got Monday. It's your Monday.
I got every
plans.
Every second Sunday. Boom. It's me.
To that point, I hope it doesn't become too fan favorite-y, because if Martin just signs off on anything that the fans want to happen, they're writing it, not him.
If.
He seems so pleased. He's just rubbing his hands together in glee.
He's just happy to still be a part
and
of
watching,
the whole
thing. And watching the Seahawks, and that's all.
I've seen nothing that makes me think that George R. R. Martin hasn't completely lost his way in terms of the scope of the entire story. And I think the TV show is following suit.
But what do you think of, if that's true, what do you think of the fact, and it would be a fact at that point, that we're going to get a whole new mythology? Like one that you haven't read. You're familiar with the books. You're probably more than any of us. But if something is different in the show, but it's better, and you like it, are you still going
to
be happy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm looking forward to how they unwind the plot points. I don't think we're going to see the same issues from the novels resolved in the TV show. Because they've left them all behind.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, when they have to, I get it. It's, you know, it's an hour.
Well, here, so a couple things TV from show. The books that will still happen. Arya's training in the House of White and Black.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see that this season.
Mm-hmm.
Intrigue surrounding Myrcella's being fostered in Dorne. Something will happen along those lines. Cersei and her kind of descent into paranoia in King's Landing. That's still going to happen.
What do you think about the whole, like, her whole, there's a whole dealing where, like, there's chapters and chapters where she's trying to figure out, like, who's on the King's Council, and it seems like, oh, it's already been elected, like...
Did she put Qyburn on the council in the books?
Yeah. No. Qyburn kind of shows up.
As the Master of Whisperers.
But
that's
Tyrell...
That's sycophant?
Yeah. So Tyrell, she was like, you're the Master of Coin and the Master of Ships, which in the book is not...
Tyrell...
Aron Waters is the Master of Ships, who's just come some kind of...
Upjumped dude.
Like, she's looking for people who will basically be yes men for her.
Yeah.
Which...
But I think that scene, that conversation is the extent of that. I mean, the small council only has, like, one scene per season on this show. Yeah.
I thought we'd seen Kevin Lannister before, because...
We have.
Yeah.
He was in the last episode. Was he in any seasons before, though?
He was in a tent once when Tyrion shows up with the wildlings.
One of...
he's there.
He's in a tent.
He's out there with Tywin.
Tywin's War Council.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And Sir Kevin Lannister, they didn't establish it well on the show, but he was essentially... I mean, he was... Tywin's brother and his right-hand man and, like, his most dependable lieutenant. But, I mean, so the little tete-a-tete that he has with Cersei in this episode kind of encapsulates a whole...
Basically, she wants Kevin to be the hand, I think, and he's like, fuck you, I'm gonna...
Yeah, I don't want to
do it. So he goes back to...
What, that whole scene rang true to me from the books. Yeah. Now, he's like, I only came here to, you know, for the funeral, and I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And screw you and your bullshit.
He doesn't become the hand in the books?
That's what she wants.
Yeah.
Because she wants that consistency of Lannister power. She's paranoid about the Tyrell influence in King's Landing. And that's one of the... That's my other bone to pick about this episode is what I talked about it last season, is how shitty and stupid and dopey and worthless they made Lord Tyrell. He's just sort of like
Mace Tyrell, right?
Tyrell is just a pawn to Cersei, which undermines her whole thing of being afraid of the Tyrell's influence. I mean, the show is putting that all on Margaery and just the influence that she has over Tommen.
Maybe fan favorite, you know. Maybe they want more of that.
Tommen, fan favorite.
No.
Marjorie. The people love her, and
she's my favorite.
The viewers do as well. Do we love Marjorie?
No, I mean, she's...
I thought it was
Queen
of Thorns that was the true matriarch of the family in the TV show.
Well, she's really caused some things to happen.
Lady Alara?
It was only ever speculated in the books that she had anything to do with the
right. Yeah, it was much more overt in the TV show.
Yeah, it was, because they never came out and said anything.
Well, and part of it was because they established Mace as sort of
an idiot,
and
he was not. He wasn't really shrewd or anything, but he was influential,
right?
And I think. She did make him the Master of Coin, didn't she?
Master of Coin.
But that's just because he's rich.
Yeah.
Basically, because he had the money.
Yeah, and she said, they said your skill was unparalleled, you know. And he loved the praise. He loves his character.
But just, nobody really believes Tommen said any of that shit.
Well, he might.
Well, he appeared to just accept that. But, I mean, so that's kind of weird. But I like the scene. So they did a good segue of, you know, Tyrion speculating, you know, how many dwarves are there in the world? And then they cut to dead dwarf head on the table.
That was good.
Which was another thing. I mean, that happened. There's like three or four dwarf heads that they bring to Cersei.
Right. It's a whole thing. Because,
is that Groat, though?
Groat?
Does it Groat?
Yeah. That's Penny's.
I am Groat.
No. Another Marvel reference. Marvelous.
Are you a guardian?
I think we're not going to see Penny on this show.
You don't think so?
Yeah, no. If they were ever going to establish her as a character, they would have given us a good clean shot of her at the
Joffrey's wedding.
So that's not happening.
Yeah.
But I do like that they acknowledge that, you know, there's a bounty out on Tyrion's head. But I like the twist, like, just for the show of Qyburn, like, oh, I can use that head.
Yeah.
You know, that which is like a great way. I mean,
keep
it creepy, exactly.
It's Sir Robert Strong's new head.
It's going to suck when the mountain comes out with a dwarf head in two episodes.
A little.
Why does a dwarf head play air guitar? What was that?
I think it was acting like I had a stick in my hand or a sword or a pike. I'm not sure what I was doing.
Sword guitar.
You just gave me an idea.
Oh,
I gotta call someone.
But so that scene, the small council scene of Cersei saying that Qyburn is our new master of whisperers, acknowledges that Varys has disappeared.
They know he's gone.
They know he's gone, and they never trusted him.
Now, do you think he's wanted dead, or do you think that they would love to get him back and find some things out?
I'm sure they want to question him thoroughly, but they won't get that chance.
I'm a cowboy. You don't know. Sorry.
I don't know.
I wanna steal horse, right.
Sorry.
Whips out sword guitar.
I'm a saboteur of the podcast at this point.
Is that the Kim Kardashian model? I think I recognize it.
The one that's smashed into...
Is it gold on the back?
Has chunks missing out of the one that face.
Let's see that back.
No, it's just the white.
Okay. You're all right.
Then. It has a chunky back. Is that why you said that?
I dropped it in Cleveland. It's now...
Oh, you just fucked it up? Just like last week?
Still works. Fuck it.
These take a lot of damage, man.
Well, okay. Back on track. What else...
Did we miss?
Do we need to acknowledge...
Did we hit every set piece? I think we did. We're gonna see Theon next week. That's cool.
We'll see Reek.
Yeah.
Reek.
Theon doesn't exist anymore.
There is no Theon. Only Reek.
Completely subsumed.
Beat me for calling him Theon. Come on.
Let me flay some skin off your finger until you beg me to cut it off.
Let's Fine. Just speculate. Let just like you know, we know we can put aside. Or try to, what we know about the books. We know that Stannis is going to try to reclaim the North. He wanted a Stark to put on the throne. That's not going to work out because Jon has just been voted in Lord Commander of the Night's Watch. We know that Stannis' wife is a bitch, right?
I feel like she's shown up a lot earlier than we should have seen her, too.
We know,
like,
I mean, she doesn't have any agenda other than being a pain in the ass and being a bitch. Being mean to her daughter.
That's important.
Being disrespectful to Gilly and the wildlings in general.
She should be at East Watch right now, still.
The books establish her as a fervent follower of R'hllor.
Right.
Yes. And the
maybe that, the most fervent one we've seen.
Did they even touch on that on the show? Or basically, did she sort of acknowledge, like, Stannis, it's okay if you're going to go fuck Melisandre?
Don't you remember?
Because
the creepy baby chamber?
The creepy baby chamber.
Yeah, well, they had the three babies in the fucking jar. In the jar, the stillborn. Oh. She kept her stillborns.
Yeah.
And that's when he came to her and Stannis was like, I have something to tell you. And she's like, I know, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I did this. These, it's the Lord of the Light is all that matters.
Okay.
I'm honored to have you cheat on me with this red woman.
They had that scene.
Something like that. Okay. Yeah.
Well, Melisandre is looking a lot hotter this season.
Yeah.
I thought.
I don't think she's ever looked not hot.
That's true. But they're like playing up her wiles because there's
she only
obviously
had
something going on with John.
Didn't she try and grab John's dick? Or something. Didn't she put her hand on his leg? And
she was just happy he wasn't a virgin.
Well, last week, last week she like made her touch his face. Or touch her face.
Sometimes I
are you not cold, m'lady?
Never.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Never. No, that was this week, wasn't it?
That was last week.
Was that last week?
When they were riding up to the top of the wall.
Yes.
Right. That was the only wiles moment for Melisandre.
I don't
this
even
season.
Think it was wiles. I felt it was more power, like power, like a power play, not a.
Yeah, she wasn't overtly seducing him. She
yet.
She that was just base level, smoldering sensuality.
Base level
rookie
smolder.
Shit. Rookie smolder.
She's all about sacrificing the sons of kings.
She's all about king's blood being powerful.
Yeah.
And that's why we were worried about
Gendry?
Gendry, yes.
Right.
Yeah, we thought for sure she was going to kill Gendry.
Well, she got his blood.
Because she...
And the shit presumably worked.
Yeah,
I don't know. The three usurpers?
Yeah. Shit worked.
Everything with R'hllor is not really happening on the show.
Well, remember in the book that she was a bit of a charlatan. She had a chest full of flash powder and sleeve, literally.
So Stannis had a flaming sword.
Right.
Stannis had a flaming sword, and which was meant to be part of the prophecy that he was the sort of the avatar of R'hllor come to Earth to be his will. To
Azor of Ashai or something, whatever the...
Yeah, right, who's going to conquer the darkness, right, with his flaming sword. And he there's a couple instances where he wields his flaming sword to impress people. But then that paralleled with Lord Beric Dondarrion, who also had a flaming sword, right?
No, his...
Thoros.
Thoros had the flaming sword. Yeah. And
Dondarrion was a lightning...
The lightning lord.
Lord. Yeah.
Who Thoros had
he didn't have
raised
any,
from the dead on multiple occasions.
Which
they did.
Sword.
They did
just
great.
Kept coming back to life.
But there was a cool moment where, so at the time, I guess when the Hound and Arya encountered the banner, the Brotherhood without banners, where Thoros kind of says, you know, I used to fight in tourneys and I used to sort of make a flaming sword. Kind of a jokey thing. That was just my sort of calling card. But then something weird happens and it started, you know, then the power of R'hllor became real.
Right. Then only then did he believe. And he said that in a drunken stupor, which he always was in.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was a really cool moment where that was kind of a cool theme of the books about magic creeping back into the world. That, you know, the dragons have returned, the others have returned.
Which is all completely absent from the TV show. All the stuff where that god's efficacy in the real world are demonstrated, bringing people back from dead, from the dead, whatever. None of that happens in the TV show.
They talk about it.
Didn't Melisandre also have a moment where she kind of acknowledged that she was a bit of a charlatan, but then all of a sudden she can do shit that she couldn't do before? Not on the show.
I don't remember that.
I feel like there's a conversation she has with someone along those lines. But yeah, so she helps Stannis play the role of this sort of avatar of R'hllor. So there's a scene, I don't remember exactly when it happens, but... Maester Aemon up at the wall when Stannis arrives and he brandishes his flaming sword.
It's not the right color. It doesn't shine the right color.
But he's blind, so he's not checking the color.
The sword isn't hot.
The sword wasn't hot. So Maester Aemon made a point of encountering the flaming sword, and he doesn't acknowledge his decision about it, but he says something to Sam or someone else afterwards and just says, you know, he's not Azor Ahai returned because that flaming sword didn't give off any heat. Right. So he knew that Melisandre was kind of being a charlatan in that regard. And I think they make it pretty clear the way that Stannis reacts to the sword, that he knows that it's bullshit.
Well, there was an awkward time when they were burning the false idols, wasn't it? When they had them all stacked up.
Yeah.
And
oh, that he was awkward.
Yeah, the way they said in the book, it was awkward. It was like it didn't go off right, and it didn't have the impact.
They made this big show of burning the seven on Dragonstone and converting everybody in Stannis's retinue. That's a word, right?
It is. It is
and it ended up being like a terrible halftime show.
It was like the Red Hot Chili
Peppers. It was. It was like, I mean, it was like
my guitar's not even plugged in.
Like, basically, he had a sword that was flaming, and it started to melt, and it got hot, and he threw it down.
Yeah,
he
like, just throws right. it away.
And, yeah. It's like, all right. Well, anyway, I'm the guy with the flaming sword. Everybody get some shut-eye. Show's over, folks. Next stop, the wall.
The sword's not even plugged in, guys. Don't worry about it.
So that was another thing I bitched about last week, Chris, was that when they burned Mance, that it wasn't like a R'hllor ritual where they're like, right. The night is dark and full of terrors.
Yeah.
Everybody worship my
God.
Yeah,
it was just like an execution. Yeah. Let's burn them this
but
week.
But I was saying, I don't remember how many of Stannis' entourage were even... Was it mostly Stannis' men?
It's mostly the Queen's men, but she was there. And
there's the Queen's men and the King's men, that's right. The Queen's men basically...
Are all...
Lady Selyse is a devout follower of R'hllor.
Right.
For whatever reason, she's just a pain in the ass.
And that,
she's
dumb. Her name has never been spoken in the TV show either. Yeah.
Lady Selyse?
Yes.
That might be true.
It has been, surely.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
And don't call Chris Shirley.
But that's right.
Yeah, they don't introduce anybody.
But within Stannis' retinue...
There's doubling
down on that one.
Posse.
They're the King's men and the Queen's men. So there are definitely followers of Stannis who believe, true believers in R'hllor, and there are the ones that are just faithful to him by default.
The true believers are the Queen's men?
Yes.
Because his wife's the crazy R'hllor...
The R'hllor whore.
R'hllor whore.
Well,
did we miss anything?
No.
Okay, good.
I'll make a comment.
I feel like we can't have missed anything since we've talked for like an hour and a half, probably.
One more thing. Marcella, the actress, we only see her from afar, but she's like an attractive...
Flaxen
much
locked.
Older than she was.
Much older than she was. But so is it the same actress or is it recast?
It's a recast. It's
okay.
Yeah, I don't remember
last
what
time
the...
We saw Marcella,
we haven't,
she
it's
was,
always okay to recast a kid as someone else. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
It's been 4 years probably since
especially a minor
Marcella appeared on the show. Right. It could easily be the same actress, but there's no reason why it would be.
It doesn't matter. Did she even have a line? She had a couple lines.
I think her line was...
Goodbye.
Yeah. I'm getting on the boat now.
Bye, Mom.
Okay. See ya. I'm your brother, Joffrey, or I'm your sister, Joffrey, and... I know we haven't spoken much, and we will never speak again.
Well, she didn't have her SAG card until this, until then.
But she only got extra pay.
Even though we only got a glimpse of her from afar, but I have a feeling we'll get some good Marcella scenes here this
probably,
season. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because she was pretty, and I'm sure that she'll talk
on
the show.
Well, I mean, there's some major things that happen in the books.
Because Jaime and Bronn are riding to rescue her from the evil clutches of Prince Doran Martell.
Right.
Okay. We'll see.
It's all going to be...
Oh, so let's just speculate then on the little snake amulet thing that someone mailed to Cersei to get her all fired up about. So clearly, is that Illyria?
Illyria.
I mean, they established in this episode she wants Dorne to go to war with the Seven Kingdoms in vengeance for Oberyn's death and going back in vengeance for Oberyn's sister's death
at the hands of the Mountain. So this, what is it, Illyria? Or she's replaced Arianne, who's Dorne's daughter.
Let's recap. Who is Illyria then?
Just Oberyn's paramour, basically.
Oberyn's paramour.
That was had she been introduced in the TV show?
She was in the show last season.
Yeah,
she got her haircut.
Okay.
Yeah.
That might literally be what
she was featured.
Yeah, no, yeah. I didn't recognize her. She was the one arguing with Prince Duran,
right,
towards the beginning. Yep. Yeah,
because the previously on Game of Thrones scene shows her freaking out when the mountain gouges his eyes out
for a split second. Right. Yeah.
So she's like the one.
She was the one in like the brothel.
She's the only person from Dorne that Tyrion we've met that's up. Still alive on the show.
We yeah. still haven't actually met the Sand Snakes.
No, but she says the Sand Snakes are with me. Them,
right.
Mm-hmm. So she's representing the Sand Snakes as Oberyn's girlfriend.
And one of the Sand Snakes is the one that was in a tryst with the Kingsguard.
No,
was,
that's
one,
her.
In the book,
it's Arianne, who is Doran's daughter, who
yes,
is
yes.
in the tryst with Aerys. Oak something.
Oakhart?
Oh, yeah. Aries
that's Oakhart. What I said, Oakhart earlier.
That's who I was
Maybe
that.
I said
that's
Oak and Shield.
I was talking about. You said Oak and Shield.
Oak Shield. Right. Oakhart. But Aerys Oakhart. That's so Arianne Martell, which is.
He's not going to show up, but somehow they're gonna blend
Jamie
into those scenes. Because there's a couple of.
I think we can assume Jamie will show up and some hottie will try to seduce him. Yeah. Right? And that'll
works
be good
for me.
Stuff.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, we have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
We barely remember anything.
We just spoiled everything for everybody. Like,
yep.
Don't even bother reading the books.
We are the absolute worst. So
well, there was one person who commented that said, "Don't worry about it." So we went with them.
We do what the fans say.
Sorry. We do what our fans say.
We are at your service. Brienne will sit the Iron Throne.
Yeah.
If you want to hear us say something, just leave a comment. We'll say it. Whatever you tell us to say, we'll do it.
For what it's worth, you know, listen, you guys. I went on iTunes last week. I searched for Game of Thrones. There's like 100 Game of Thrones podcasts that are listed before ours.
What?
No one can even find ours?
No one can even find ours on iTunes.
Well, who's our search engine optimization person?
We still get hits from around the world, so I don't know. I mean, basically...
Chinese bots still.
This is our audience. Anybody that gets the joke, Darkwing's dork words, has read the books and appreciates the subtle humor that is.
Well, unless they were searching for the comic of the same name. That came after our podcast. Remember when the guy got a hold of you and said, "Hey, man, I just wanted to ask you if we could use that name from my comic."
What?
Yeah.
Didn't you know about this? Some comicist. What do you call a comic drawer? That.
A comicist.
Comicist. Got a hold of Chuck and was like, "Hey.
Hey, I really want to do a Game of Thrones themed comic strip, and I want to call it Darkwing's Dork Words. Can I just use..." I see you already had that idea. Can
you
I just have
you
it?
Chuck was like, "No."
I don't care. I was like, "Is your podcast still active?" And I said, "Yeah." And here we are, 3 seasons later.
And he did it.
Still going.
He did
strong.
It anyway.
Maybe he did. Who knows?
I think I looked.
I don't think you've copyrighted that.
Now everyone's going to steal it.
Steal it. Well, legally speaking, there's nothing to prevent them.
Oh,
there's nothing to steal at this point.
Sansa gave us a Darkwing's Dark Words shout out this week.
Yeah, she did say.
She mentioned it.
Yep.
So we'll probably get more hits this week because
some creative editing, and I'll make her say Darkwing's dork words.
So basically, we're
have they even
our
have
hat
they even called
on
her Elaine
the word dork?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Last season,
it's. I mean, God, how do people who don't read the books keep track of any of this shit?
This is my point. They don't introduce any of the characters. Yeah. Which leads me to believe they're either going to be throwaway characters or it's just really crappy writing, I guess.
Lawless Stokeworth will sit the Iron Throne.
Yeah, she's been introduced. Lawless.
She's been introduced. But they didn't introduce her in a way that references the fact that she's the one that was raped by the mob
in
season 2.
Yeah.
And that's why she had to be married off to
Bronn,
the up-jumped
Hedge Knight.
Sellsword. Not even a hedge knight.
Yeah.
He was not a knight.
No.
He was just a sellsword.
Yeah.
But she got knocked up by the throng, the mob.
God. So terrible.
Repeatedly raped. I mean, poor Lawless, especially now that you know that her sister pulls her hair. I mean, she's just like, and she's so sweet. And she's
about to lose Bronn.
But she didn't lose Bronn in the books, so I mean, man,
she's about to go on a buddy road trip with Jaime Lannister, the original Odd Couple, right? Jaime Lannister and Bronn. Sir, that's the only part of the upcoming show I think I'm looking forward to.
I feel like more like Bronn's like Rocky's trainer and like the what's his name? It's like, come on, Burgess Meredith.
Use your left hand, Rocky.
You can do it. You can do it. I'll improve your skills.
That Sir Ilyn Payne and Jaime made a better odd couple than Bronn and Jaime.
Yeah.
The two of them are just going to wisecrack their way all the way down to Dorne.
I don't think Sir Ilyn Payne can wisecrack anything.
Yeah.
And poor Jaime.
He can nod.
Bronn, maybe Bronn will talk him into cheating on his sister.
with Bronn?
No.
When you said you wanted a sword fight, I didn't know what you meant.
Let me finish.
Wait, let's quit while we're behind.
You just added an hour to this editing. We gotta stop.
Okay. Just turn it off and we can just talk amongst ourselves.
How recorded.
Hey, gang.